Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are talking to entrepreneurs every day of the week, every day of the month, 24/7. You can find us. Go to YouTube and check out our videos. I know my partner today, my co-host, he goes to the YouTube because I see him liking the spots, and that's John Dustin from JED Insurance.
Jeff, thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Do you watch those videos?
I occasionally do, yes.
You occasionally do. And I watch you watching them, and then I like what you like. Our next guest, first-timer, Lisa Levesque from Focal Point Coaching. Hi.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Lisa. Tell us about Focal Point Coaching.
So I'm a business coach, and to summarize it, I help small businesses perform like big businesses. So I work with business owners on any element of their business to help them, you know, achieve greater things, if you will.
So that's a good marketing line. You know, I can't help it. But so what elements of big business do you try to bring into small business?
Well, really everything. So at the end of the day, big business has the benefit of all different departments, whether it's human resources, marketing, sales, distribution, all of those things. And small businesses can't replicate that, but they can replicate the planning and the structure and the goal setting, the measurements, all of those things, but just in a different way.
Right. So is your background in big business?
It is. I spent over 30 years in corporate America, 21 at Fidelity Investments and some others. So I have a lot of experience.
So you're part
of
the Fidelity alumni that are out there now.
I am indeed. And it was a great time back in the day, but now it's really fun to be working with a small business owner. That's really where my heart is. Right. My husband owns a small business. I've worked with his business over the years. And I always wanted to do something like this, and it's been so rewarding.
How did you get into coaching? I assume you weren't a coach at Fidelity. I know I knew some of the Fidelity coaches. Yeah. We've actually, in my consulting firm, we coached some of the coaches at Fidelity.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, nice. So, I did work with a lot of them, and I was transitioning my career over into those types of things before I left. And so that was really where I found my passion was. I'd spent a lot of years in finance, marketing, sales, distribution, and I really found my most rewarding times were when I worked with individuals and helped them grow. And so what I really wanted to do when I decided that this is my time to start my own business was to help people grow and develop. So I took all the skills that I had gained over the years and applied it to my coaching practice.
Do you find through your history, and most people don't plan, is it a good thing to think most people just show up and hope sort of for the best, or do you find that, hey, we do pretty sophisticated planning, seriously, at our company,
yes.
And Jeff's helping us this year, but what do you find in the market?
I feel like you just read my mind. First of all, it's really planning
better
season.
Than the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want to do that. Yeah, we never know what we'll
you
find
don't
there.
You want to go there.
That's right.
I think that was a dig.
It might have been. Huge issue, right? So at Fidelity, we plan from September through December. I mean, that's what you do. Small businesses don't need to plan for that long of a period, but they need to have a plan. And so many times I walk in and meet with a business owner, and they're, I'll say, so what's your plan? What are your goals? Show me the KPIs that you use. And they'll just point at their head and they'll say, it's all up here. And I think it's great, you know, they kind of know where they're going, but you really can't get to where you're going unless you have it written down in your
measuring.
And
who else knows?
Right, exactly. And right. They complain, well, the employees, they're not doing everything I'm looking for them to do.
I speak to 10 employees, I get 10 different versions of the plan.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so, you know, the ship, who's steering the ship, you know, and people can't really all pull together without that key plan. So, yeah, such a critical element. And no, they don't do it as often as possible. Glad to know that you do, though, John.
And I can't remember who told me to work on the business, not in the business. There was a consultant that I tripped across at one point, and I can't put my...
I didn't know which one of us he's talking to.
Yeah, it could have been any of us.
But
that is really key.
That's the key, I think.
Right, so if you read the book, The E-Myth Revisited, it's really all about that. There's the three elements of the business owner. There's the entrepreneur, there's the manager, and there's the technician. And so often, the small business owner defaults to the technician element of it.
All the time.
Exactly. Exactly, because it's easy.
I once worked with somebody many, many years ago, decades, and I got calls from employees who said, we can't get him to work on the big things. He's lying on the ground on his back repairing the copy machine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I often feel that that's fear of that. So they get in the business because they want to run it, but yet they're afraid of making that next big decision. And so that's where coaching really comes in.
And they stay where they feel they're comfortable.
Exactly.
Right. And that's not being an entrepreneur.
No, it's not. And it's not. And if you read the e-myth, it's, you know, if you want to bake muffins, then work for a bakery. But if you want to run a bakery, hire someone to bake the muffins. And that's what we're trying to teach these individuals to do, is hire the technicians. Look at the cost per hour of you versus them in terms of what you're doing versus them and the value add to the business, and place in the right place. Now, where the challenge comes in is one of my verticals is with professionally trained people without business backgrounds. And that's because my husband's a dentist, so I know that well. So dentists, doctors, attorneys, engineers, veterinarians, anyone like that, where they have a deep technical background, and that's often why they got into their business. So they're a mix of entrepreneur versus technician. Yeah, well, yeah, restaurateur, I would agree. They love it. They're passionate about their trade.
And most of them don't know anything about a business.
Right, exactly. Great one to work with. So yeah, but that's always a challenge, because there has to be a mix of their skill in the business, because that's what their business is all about. So every business is different. Some you need to do a little bit more of the entrepreneur, and some now, more of the technician.
Fidelity is not your typical large corporation, because a lot of, you know, there was a lot of independence and diffusion, but mm-hmm. big adjustment being running your own business versus Fidelity?
Yeah, it is a big adjustment, but you know, I feel as though I got such a great background there that the confidence soars, if you will, because they train you well at Fidelity.
Anything you miss about a big company besides the fact that you always had a guaranteed paycheck?
And
bonus, I would assume.
Yeah, I think it's the camaraderie. But what I found really quickly is you can create your own partnerships with people. And it's kind of a cool thing that now my business partners are in all different businesses versus we were all generically at Fidelity. So I actually like that better, that I have relationships and partners in so many different lines of business.
And your clients, you're probably, if they're lacking planning and business acumen, you're looking for a long-term relationship versus a quick...
Yeah, that's a great question, John. Yeah, normally speaking, you know, I have a pretty spelled out curriculum, and it's honestly a curriculum to work with these folks. So it's not a 5-minute conversation. It's not a 1 month. Quite often it's 6 months minimum to 2 years or more.
And do they come codependent on you?
A little bit. No, the whole point is to make them be able to
really
soar. Yeah,
but I mean, they probably depend on you at various points of
the year.
Yeah,
it gets a little scary when they say, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I believe in you. I say, oh, okay, hold on. Hold on a minute. No, it's great. It's really exciting.
There's that whole issue around, I guess, what's called the Messiah complex, and not allowing that to happen. And you know, making sure that you're making them stronger, mm-hmm. not making them dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And I
exactly.
think the more you make them strong and that they see that you're dedicated to making them strong, the more they will come back to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
No,
for
I
the
think
right
that's
reasons,
right.
Not for the wrong reasons.
And right. You see it as an empowering element,
right,
versus a codependency.
Right.
And that's really what it's all about, is to make them feel great about themselves and where they're going. And they all have the tools. It's just a matter of how do you employ them?
I've said to clients many times over the years, you have to do this.
Right.
And they're like, no. I go, no, you have to do this.
Right.
And then afterward, they're like, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
I read, right, you did it. Now you can do it again.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's the whole, you know, teaching them to fish.
Right.
And it's rewarding when they get it.
Right.
And some folks get it more quickly
than others.
You have to
push some people more than others.
Yes, you do. I don't know who he's talking about, John. I always
like teasing him. No.
So you're deliverable, because there's a lot of coaches out there now.
Yes,
there's
there
life coaches, business coaches, consultants.
Health coaches.
Yes.
Health coaches.
Spiritual coaches.
Holistic.
Yes. If you name it, they've found a niche to call it.
So
true. And that can get confusing to people. So when I say I'm a business coach, what does that mean? Right.
Separate your deliverable. What's the expectation? Mm-hmm. If we were to hire you, what's our expectation?
Your expectation is that your business would be set up for success in the future. And when I say set up for success in the future, I mean around things like, you know, solid planning process and infrastructure that works. How do we hire the right employees at the right time to make the most impact to the business? Marketing plans. How do you find your ideal client? How do you, you know, best set up your sales force for success? And ultimately, how do you as a leader lead the business to the next generation of whatever your business might be?
But I define a metric of success with you.
You have to define the metrics of success. If I tell you you should be X and you want to be Y, it's never going to work. So you define it and we find the path for you.
And I'll skip over Jeff on this one, but sometimes I do think, and I will be completely honest here, he told me to work at the front of the restaurant as opposed in the kitchen for a couple of years.
Front of the house versus the back of the house.
Yeah. I think that was the analogy. But having gone through that process and finished it and now we're growing, it's sometimes hard, I bet, for you to get the people to take the risk and put their toe in the water and move forward.
It is, but I mean, if you understand business cycles, if they don't do that, their business will eventually decline.
You know, a lot of second or third generation family businesses, they tend to migrate towards the back of the house, mm-hmm. and they lose that contact with the front of the house, the marketplace.
Yeah. Right.
Something you got to look at, the balance.
They're too ingrained in trying to hold on to what was rather than think about, hey, we can make it.
When they were getting trained by their parents, a lot of times they started in the back of the house.
Right.
And there's two other paths of that, I believe, now that I'm in that process. One is passion. The second generation has to have the passion that the first generation did. And the second aspect is rejection and risk. So when you start from scratch, you get a lot of rejection mm-hmm. and risk. Sometimes the second and third generation don't want to hit the rejection and the risk. And I've been rejected by everybody, so I'm completely...
and continues to be.
John and I both started our businesses, it's plural. Yeah. And, you know, starting a business is based on getting rejection and mm-hmm. refining your pitch so that you don't get rejected as often.
Correct. Right.
Lisa, how would people find you at Focal Point Coaching?
So I have a website. It's lisalevesque.focalpointcoaching.com, and that's probably the easiest way. There's some free ebooks out there. People want to take a look at some things that, you know, we would talk about as the coach. But that's probably the best way to find me on my website.
Okay, coach. Great.
All right.
Great
awesome.
Having you on the show.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, John Dustin, for bringing Lisa on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
We appreciate it. That's John Dustin from JED Insurance. Two new offices. John, tell our listeners, where can we find these new offices?
Foxborough, Mass., 30 Mechanic Street and 1244 Broadway in Raynham, Massachusetts.
Fabulous. JED Insurance. We're going to take a break. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.